great interest in your prayers tonight. Preaching the word of the Lord is not an easy task. And it's not easy for anybody, but especially those of us who just have a hard time retaining the very things that we read. Just doesn't help our cause much, but no matter what we lack, the Lord can certainly make up for. I have a rather lengthy scriptural reading tonight. I'm very well likely to make mistakes in it, but I really and truly do need your prayers. The Lord has given me thoughts that they just need to come out, and I hope that I don't make a mess of all the good things that He's shown me this week. For those of you that have your Bibles handy, please turn to the book of Joshua, and we'll begin our reading from chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even into Shabarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of you. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran in unto the tent, and beheld it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And I would like to stop my reading there. The reason that Achan was stoned and his family and all that he had was because he did something that God told him not to do. He took spoils of the city of Jericho, which was something that God said not to do. Now, I know that Brother Miller touched on this very well this morning, and I have nothing to add to what he had to say, but it's funny sometimes how I listen to him, and the very same thoughts that he's had been on my mind all week as well. But, you know, it really is, it's amazing how God can pass judgment. I mean, we think of God, we think of the loving, nurturing, comforting, healing God that does so much wonderful things in our life. And he is all of those things. I mean, he's been good to us, people. I mean, I have nothing to complain about. He has just blessed my life over and over, and I'm just grateful and awed at his goodness. But he's also a judge. And he's also a just judge. And the thought that I want you to keep in mind tonight is how the things that others do affect us. We live in a world today where the philosophy of many is to live and let live. They'll ask you if you speak out against anything going on in the world today, well, how does it affect you? And the truth is, the reason they're asking that question is because they really don't know how it affects all of us. Because of the sins of Achan, 36 Israeli soldiers lost their lives. I mean, those 36 Israeli soldiers, those warriors, they had nothing to do with what Achan did. Achan acted alone. But God has no problems judging a whole nation. And because of what Achan did, 36 Israeli soldiers who had nothing really to do with what he did paid the ultimate price for his sin. And as I said, we live in a world that just really adores and celebrates wickedness. We live in a land where it is culturally accepted. I mean, people will defend with all seriousness and just vile acts towards children. The only way I can see somebody defending something like abortion is if they really just don't know the Lord. I don't see how anybody could read upon the procedures that take place on our unborn children and somehow fathom in their logical mind that it's acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And I'm telling you, I fear for myself, I feel for my church, the things that may transpire in this country because of what others do. I mean, it's a real thing, the judgment of God. You can go on further. Brother Miller touched on this morning. He touched on Jonah when he tried to flee from going to the city of Nineveh. Several men on a boat come near losing their lives because of what he had done. They had little to nothing to do with Jonah fleeing from preaching the word of God. They just happened to be around him. They almost paid the ultimate price for what Jonah had done. They had to throw merchandise overboard the boat. They rowed hard to bring it in. And I'll tell you this, I really don't believe they wanted to throw him overboard. They asked the Lord not to let his blood be on their hands. They loved Jonah enough, like you should love your neighbor. They didn't want any ill thing to befall him. But at the end of the day, they had to do what was told to them. These kinds of scriptures, these kinds of stories, I mean, they should really burden our hearts. I mean, not just for ourselves, but for our children. If God decides to pour out his judgment on this country, and if it doesn't change course, he surely will, it's going to be bad. And it's very well likely that people who may not even commit some of the very acts that God might be displeased with are liable to pay a price. I mean, we have wildfires running rampant. Natural disasters, they just seem to come and go very frequently. Tornadoes, they ravage different places throughout our heartland. And it just kind of makes me wonder if they're not consequences for the wickedness of the nation in which we live. Y'all pray for me. My mind's going blank, and I just don't need that. Biggest reason we have these problems, and I'm serious, the biggest reason that we have these problems, people advocating for sin, that are celebrating wickedness, is because the truth is, at the end of the day, they're lost and they're wrapped up in the intellectual mind and the things that the world tells them. I mean, they are a deceived people. And I'll be very honest with you, there's a very easy remedy for all this. Those people who are deceived, if they came to know the Lord, if they really had an experience, I'll tell you right now, I just don't believe that somebody that had had a heartfelt experience on an altar somewhere, I don't believe that somebody who really and truly knows the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin would advocate, would accept, would celebrate the things that are going on in this country. I'll tell you what, I believe if 80% of our nation was really Christian, were really saved, that were really members of the Lord's church, there wouldn't be a building permit signed for one clinic. I mean, it just wouldn't be a problem because it couldn't get built. It would never even get started. Nobody would even mention such a wicked and an awful idea if they were truly children of God. You know, saved people, we sin. We sin very often. And we're just an imperfect people passing through this life and fail each and every day to try and be Christ-like. But I will say this, for those of us who know the Lord and pardon and forgiveness of sin, we ought not to live in sin. I mean, that is something, if we've got things in our life that are just abominable, we need to get them out of our lives so that we can reach out to others. I mean, that's the whole reason we're here, is to serve God and to bring Him honor and glory. And if we're living in a manner that could hurt our ability to spread the message, to spread the gospel, to further the cause of Jesus Christ, we need to get those things out of our lives. That's what He expects us to do. It's our job. It's not just our pastors. It's not just my job as a preacher. I mean, it's all of our jobs to further the cause of Christ. And the best way for us to solve the very problems that we have at hand, you know, we can go out and we can argue and we can share scriptures about what's morally right and what's morally wrong, but people that have been turned to a reprobate mind, they're just not going to understand and accept it for what it is. It's hard for them to understand and know the truth when they don't even know the Lord. How can they understand His truth? We need a great revival. We need people everywhere just turning to God, falling on their faces. Boy, if that was just going on all over the country, we'd solve our problems pretty quickly. I hear people all the time. They talk about the things in the world. You've got the wickedness versus the good, moral versus immoral, and people keep talking about finding common ground. Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. Jesus didn't find any common ground when He was on the cross paying for all of our sins, and I don't think it's His people that we should try and find any common ground with what hung our Savior on the cross. You know, I really wished that I could look at sin with the kind of disgust that our Lord does, because at the end of the day, my wickedness put Him on that very cross. We need to start spreading the gospel. I mean, it just really needs to go forth with the power and authority. It needs to go forth without the walls of a church containing it. I'm afraid we've become so, and I'll tell you, when I feel terribly guilty to have to say this, but I have to say it, and I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I feel like we're so concerned about offending other people and hurting other people's feelings and keeping our silence on such matters that we can actually offend the Lord. And you know, after what He's done for us, you know, if you've been saved after what He's done for you, what He's done for me, I really don't want to offend Him. I mean, I just don't. He's been so good to us. He's been so good to me as a person. He's been so good to the great nation in which we live. And we've just enjoyed things that most people could never even imagine. And it's all because of Him. Every good thing in our lives has come from Him. We need to be willing to take a tougher stand. You know, it just seems like our voices are being silenced. But there's ways we can be heard. And we need to find those ways and exploit those ways. And people need to just hear the plain and simple message, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if and when they do that, if and when they turn their hearts to God, when they're willing to forsake the wicked things of this world, their own worldly ideas and lust, and they come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, things will change for the better. You know, people, they keep thinking and that, you know, if we can get good leaders in certain places that, you know, it's just going to fix our country. But the truth is, the bad people we have in bad places is a reflection of the bad and the wickedness that's in our country. Brother Miller said this morning, he said, I say this all the time when I talk to people. You know, we talk about raising children. I say, you know, I really hope that I can be a parent to my kid. They're going to have plenty of friends when they're growing up. I believe that's the truth. I believe children need somebody to just be stern, to be the guiding factor in their life. You know, it's going to be a hard thing for us as God's people to convince our children and our grandchildren that mommy and daddy, grandpa and grandma, and this dusty old Bible are right when the whole world is telling them that we're wrong. We've got a challenge on our hands, people. Quite a challenge. Some of the things have been passed in the last several weeks that I mentioned earlier, I'm just not really at liberty to talk about because they're so disgusting and vile, I can't even use the words from the pulpit. But I'm telling you, there's people today that are going to try and influence your children and your grandchildren and deceive them and put them in a kind of state that if they don't get out of, it'll send them straight to hell. You just can't believe some of the things that I've heard on the news and things that I've read regarding our very children. It's offensive. It's grossly offensive that the government, that people think they have a right to manipulate and to encourage our children into lifestyles that are not suitable in the eyes of God. You know, when a governing body passes a law that they can give your daughter as young as age 11 birth control, and I'm assuming probably tell them what it's for, we've got a problem on our hands. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, the only thing I want my little girl thinking about at age 11 is whether she's accountable or not. I want her to be thinking about little girly things, little girly toys, not pills and their purpose. And anybody that thinks that it's okay for a governing body to hold some kind of invisible line of power and authority over our children is a gross and abusive overstep of boundaries. And I can assure you, from the bottom of my heart, I really believe with every ounce of me, and there's a whole lot of ounces of me right now, that those ideas and those laws were not inspired by our Heavenly Father. Well, I thank you for coming tonight. I thank you all for sitting here and letting me get those thoughts off my chest. I hate sometimes to come and preach messages like this when I know that the body of people that are going to be hearing them is probably not in the greatest need of the message. I mean, there are other people tonight that very likely needed to hear that more than we did. But nevertheless, those are the things that were on my heart. Those are the things that we as God's people, we need to start taking a corrective course towards. I mean, our children are not to be altered and influenced in such manners. They're ours. Let me rephrase that. They're under our watch, care, and protection because God was kind enough to give them to us. And we need to do everything that we can to take care of them. I mean, it's just I'll be very honest with y'all. Before I even got married, I was praying for my child. I'm serious. I had no idea if and when I would ever get married and be blessed enough to have a child. But long before that ever took place, I promised God, if He would give me a child, I'd do everything I could to raise it right and commit that child back to Him. And I don't like the idea of anybody trying to alter my child's pathway to the Lord. I don't want anybody steering her off course, and I certainly don't want anybody steering your children off course. But you know, if we want the directions, if we want the mentality that these things, these bad things, these bad ideas to push on our children, if we want them to go away, we're going to have to be the ones to make them go away. You know, our voices are going to have to be heard. It's sad. It's sad the things that people think is okay to influence children with. That reprobate mind, it's a very scary thing. It's a powerful agent that's just simply used to deceive. But, you know, God allows people to get to that point. I mean, if they reject Him enough, they're going to end up with the reprobate mind all on their own. And I do believe it's a very hard thing to get past. But people can get past it. And they can get saved. And then they can take a stand for the Lord. I've made a lot of mistakes tonight. I hope y'all continue to pray for me. You pray for me that I'll do a better job being a preacher and a better job being a father. And I'll pray for those of you with children and grandchildren, because we need that. I mean, we really and truly, our kids need Jesus to go through this, because if they don't have Him to lean on, they're so likely to be deceived. And the last thing we want is for any of our children to be walking around with a reprobate mind. We don't want our children thinking that the world is right, mommy and daddy and the Bible are wrong. We want them to know the truth. Well, I'm going to bring our service to a close. I was looking for Brother Ernie. You want to lead us in a song, brother?